The devil would love for you to believe that God doesn't care for you. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you know, if we stagger and stumble around and don't do the things that pleases him, he doesn't care for us. Now, see, that's where you're wrong. Even if your child doesn't honor you, you still love him. He's still your child. And to think that something would happen to him, you just can't hardly bear it because he's still your child. See, God so loved us while we were stumbling and staggering out in our sins before we ever done any good thing, that he gave his son to die for us. And now that you're trying to please him, I say this so often, how much more does he love you, even if you stagger and stumble? So see, it isn't a matter of his love or questioning his love. God loves you. The Bible said a friend loveth at all times. And Jesus said to Judas, friend, not that Judas was a friend to God as Abraham was, but that Jesus was a friend to Judas. See, God is our friend. He loveth at all times. A friend is when someone can know your faults, your shortcomings, and still love you. And that's the way God is. Someone said he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. So God loves you. You say, well, if he loves me and my faults and failures, why then should I bother to do anything? Well, you love your son, your daughter, and the faults and failures. Why should they bother to do anything? Wouldn't it be better if they do the things that was right in life and do the things that was pleasing and be a better person? Wouldn't it be something to that? And then besides that, this thing is based on your faith in God. You know, when you do the things that please God, then your heart hath confidence as to faith. And that's how your salvation comes, in that God's Spirit comes into your heart by faith. And His Spirit cannot get into your heart unless you have faith in the heart. And the only life is the eternal life that you have is faith in the heart by His Spirit. His Spirit. If you have none, have not His Spirit, then the Bible says that you're none of His. So then if I don't do the right things, I can't assure the heart to confidence, which is faith, to bring His Spirit into my heart, that His Spirit may purify my heart and wash my spirit. You understand what I'm saying? So then we have to do these things to have faith that we might reap the benefits of the love and kindness of God that He has given to us in Christ Jesus. And even though this remains, if we don't do right, the love is still there toward us, but we'll never reap the benefit of it. And we'll be turned into hell with the nail-scarred hands reaching out saying, I love you. You say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. Well, the Bible said when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, Jesus looked at him and loved him. The Bible says that Jesus told him what to do as to the commandments. He said, from my youth up I've kept these. He said, but if you would be perfect, go sell all that you've got, give to the poor. He said, then you'll have a cross. Take up your cross and follow me. And the Bible said he had many, many great possessions. So he turned away sorrowfully. And the Bible says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Though he turned away sorrowfully and didn't do what God told him. But Jesus still looked at him and loved him. Oh, somebody said, well, I can't get a hold of that. Well, let's try one more. The Bible says that Peter cursed. He cursed and denied the Lord. Said, I don't know this man. What are you talking about? And cursed. But the Lord just looked at him and said, Peter, when thou art converted, go strengthen the brethren. He still loved him. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's the kind of God you got. That's why that I say to you, the devil loves to get you off in a corner, swallow you up. And that's what your pastor's for. That's what your minister's for. When a little sheep falls off of the ledge down on a little place down there over the hill, you know, down on the ledge, and he's got a long thing that he just reaches down and puts that staff around the neck. It's got a little crook in it like this, and it rolls off. And that is made especially for him to reach down and catch that little sheep around the neck here, and it just fits just perfect, and just pick him right up out of that. It's a long thing that he can reach him with. He carries it, and they feel safe around the shepherd. If they fall off into a ditch, they know the shepherd will pull them out. Thy staff, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's give him another hand. So then the Lord loves you. He loves you. And over yonder, I'd be preaching. I say, let's give the Lord a hand. And they just clap a hand and somebody, hallelujah. And they just cry out and scream out, you know. And you could tell that God was really doing something for them. Let's pray that God will bless us. And let's remember that no matter how much we stumble and stagger, God's blood has covered all of it as long as we didn't willingly do it or willingly allow for it. And that's why the Bible said, happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing which he alloweth. For if your heart condemn you, God's greater than your heart. He knoweth all things. If your heart condemns you and says, you're gone, you're gone. God's greater than your heart. The preparation of the heart is from God. God's greater than your heart. He knows that Jesus spilt his blood for you, even if you stumble and your heart does condemn you. So take faith in God. And don't let the devil take your shield of faith away. And just go right on believing God and praising God and shake that thing off. And don't let the parasites get on anymore. And don't stumble and do that thing anymore. Just go right on. If you stumble, you go right on believing God. At any time that you turn around and do wrong in the world, they say you can hang it up. Because if you can turn around and do wrong after confessing Christ, then you are possessed of a devil. But folks, no matter how much you stumble, no matter how much you stumble, you still got God on your side, and a good man will fall 7 times and get back up. Because he's trying. You love him? All right. I think I'm just going to let you ask a question or two tonight. Maybe comment on it. I just want to throw that little thing concerning faith in. A lot of people say, I've got faith, Brother Pike. But they can't believe for their healing. They can't believe for someone else's healing. They can't believe for God to provide their substance through life. And if you can't do that, what makes you think you got faith? Come on, folks. You say, well, I can't get them things to work for me, but I know that I love the Lord, and I know I got faith, and I know I'm going to heaven, but what makes you think you got faith? Or somebody says, well, I don't have that much faith, but I got enough faith to save me. Jesus said if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could move a mountain. So how much faith have you got? They said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus just as if to say, you haven't got any faith. They said, increase our faith. He said, if you had faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could move a mountain. What do you mean, increase your faith, he could have said. Folks, I'm just saying that it's not a matter of increasing your faith. It's a matter of strengthening what faith you've got, if you've got any faith. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. All right, I just thought we'd drop that in for you to think on. A lot of folks are going to miss God. They got a believing experience, but they don't have faith. That's why I say you need to give him a chance. Start trying to practice leaning on faith instead of your paycheck every week. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, I don't lean on my paycheck. Oh, I know you do. I can tell the way you give in the offering. I really don't know that much about the offering, but I hear Sister Betty, Sister Linda, and Brother Taylor, and some of the others talk. They keep the book. And I can tell by that you're leaning on your paycheck. You're not leaning on faith because you don't give any of your paycheck to have any gap in there to fill with faith. Let's give him another hand. So I can tell where you're leaning. In the early church, they gave unto God of their time. They took time off. Some of you can't even take a day off of your work to do something for God. Though the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added. But you can't even take a day off for it. And if you could, your wife wouldn't let you. Got some wives like that too. Sad to say that it's in the reverse, and sometimes the husband won't let the wife when she'd like to do a little something, you know. He's so naturally minded. But I thank God for wives and husbands that will and can work together, that is not always laboring to be, well, what can you say? I say these things over and over and on to them that's going to listen to God's going to get it anyway. But you need to try faith. You need to try faith. The Bible said, try me. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts. Some of us, well, I got a good income, so I'm not going to, you know, I don't have to worry about that. We have enough to pay the bills. We have enough to get by. We have enough to do these things. So I don't have to do that, Brother Pye. Well, you need to give some away to the poor. You need to do something. You need to invest in God. You need to get into a condition to where you've got a need. You say, why? Because faith takes you to heaven. And faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And the word said, try me herewith, saith the Lord. And if you can't try him, if you don't have no room to try him, then you're not going to have any faith. You're not going to have any faith. So you better do something to try him. That's how people are going to get to heaven. Is there's a people that's going to give everything that God, including their lives, and put themselves in a position where they have to try God and believe God, and they're going to leave off with this little puny thing called our budget. I never will forget preaching. I went to a big place one time and a big congregation and a big preacher. And the preacher says, all right, Brother Pike. One of the first things that we need to do, he said, is find out what your budget is. Because they went by budget. I was embarrassed. You know, I guess I just ain't a big preacher because I didn't have a budget. I said, I don't have a budget. And he just kind of, you know, they just kind of looked at me with a holler expression. They couldn't understand me not having a budget. But folks, I've been here for years and I don't have a budget. I really don't, Brother Dell. I don't have a budget. So I guess I'll never be a big preacher. But I don't have a budget. I just go by faith. And if the budget is $1,000, as you call it, then the Lord gives me $1,000. If it's $10,000, he gives me $10,000. So I guess if there's a budget, you know, he keeps tab on it. Because I don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is right now. I know that, like I said in that meeting, there was a whole lot of people. Here we need a whole lot of money. Somebody said, now there you go, asking for money. No, I didn't ask you for anything. I just said we need a whole lot of money. Someone said, well, where are you going to get it? I'm going to get it from God. I'm going to get it from God. Like the man that was building the church, and he didn't have anything to build with. You've heard me tell this. They said it actually happened. And said he just kept messing around on a lot there and just trying to dig around. And people got curious, and everybody wanted to know where the money was coming from and who was backing him. And finally, a fellow got to riding by, and he kept saying, how are you going to build that church? And the man said, with the cow on the hill. And he'd come back, and he'd ask, he'd say, how are you going to build that? He said, with the cow on the hill. And finally, the man just got so embarrassed coming by and seeing the man struggle, not having nothing to build with. And I understand he was a wealthy man. He said, I'll just pay for the thing. And so the man said, praise God, my father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And he paid for it with the cow on the hill. Preparation of man's heart is from God. It's like when we started to build this church, I remember some folks asked me, said, how in the world are you going to do that? Well, I didn't keep a budget. I just done it by faith. So God graciously takes care of me. I put myself in a position to where I have to try God. I do that. Somebody said, but what if he lets you down? He never has. I don't have any reason to believe that he will. Not any reason at all. Why should I believe that he will let me down when he said he wouldn't? See, what kind of a God would he be if he said he wouldn't and then he did? See, it wouldn't be worth my while to serve him anyway. I just counsel out on the whole thing. If he's going to do that, it wouldn't be no need to try to serve God. But see, the God that I serve won't do that. He'll never let me down. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even when the angel came and put the ring on my finger, or the Lord came, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll always be with you. I won't ever forsake you. He said to you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the world. So see, I don't have any reason to think like that. God, even your God, shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, not according to your paycheck. So I try God. I do things to put myself in a position to try God. Somebody will say, well, tell us some of them. Okay, here's one of them. There's a man coming tonight and supposed to give him $5,000. Sister Betty, are you trying the Lord on that? I'm talking about $5,000 outside of paying his plane fare down here and paying for his stay while he's here. Somebody said, God, Brother Pike, let's give him a hand. Somebody said, how are you going to do that, Brother Pike? Well, the Bible said it come to pass that he will answer before you call to tell you the truth about it. We've already got it. Let's give him another one. So I wasn't asking you for it after all. You love the Lord? People love God. They love God. They're going to do something for God no matter what. Matter of fact, speaking of $5,000, I believe Brother James gave three of $5,000 just one night here when he was taken up to the altar, just one brother. And another brother right over there gave $10,000 in one offering. Other brethren gave quite a bit. I think they gave me one time here in one offering about $7,000 just for a birthday present. That's a pretty good birthday present. I just love to. The Bible said, clap your hands, all you people. If you get tired of it, we'll just start over. Because it said, clap your hands, all you people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's why I'm always saying, clap your hands. You know, you've got a dignitary around, and when you got a dignitary around, if he's a president or governor, they're always just clapping their hands. He'll say something else, clap his hand. Clap your hands like that. And we got a greater than Solomon here tonight. We got the Holy Ghost here tonight. And the Bible said, where two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus, Jesus himself is here. Let's give him another hand. He's a real dignitary, folks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was preaching over in the Philippines, and the man that was over here, he was carrying on the sound system, and I was just preaching away, and all of a sudden he screamed out and just jumped straight up into the air. It was real comical because he went straight up and his feet went out like that, you know. I mean, he jumped up into the air. And over there, a lot of times people, they get excited. Well, we've got something to be excited about, folks. I just come here and talk with you, but we've got something to be excited about. Jesus, he would just talk with you. That's all he did to the people. He talked with them. Now, let me say something. Maybe by the time I get through with all this, you'll think of a question. But anyway, I didn't get to see this particular site that I'm about to make mention of. But there is a place called Smoky Mountain. I know we got here in, you know, in the United States, we got the great Smoky Mountains. But this is singular, Smoky Mountain. And it's over in the Philippines. And even though those people are prosperous, great big city, all over there, you know, we think about them poor, starving people. But we rode through city after city in different countries, even in Africa. And in some of these cities, they didn't hardly have an old car. I'm telling you the truth. I marveled. I said, why is it that all of your cars are said to like brand new and just such fine automobiles? But they told me, like in Singapore, said, ain't no poor folks in Singapore. They have their own homes, even apartments, big apartments. But still beyond the great cities like Manila, in some places, there are places like Smoky Mountain. Now, you remember you sent, I believe it was 17,000 garments or something like this, down into Monterey. And they have a place over in Mexico that's like Smoky Mountain. It is a garbage dump where they take all the garbage. We got some pictures and slides. I hope to be able to show you some of the slides. It's just fantastic. And And people are really shook up over it. Hundreds and thousands of people live on this garbage dump. And while we was over there, one of the great leading papers in Manila carried the article. And it was so stirring that even the reporter, he just brooded over it. He said, to think, we're eating like we're eating. You know, and we have the things we have. And he wasn't speaking from a religious standpoint at all. He said, and to think that he went there to talk to that little girl and said her nature already, a little girl, is conforming to just being like a scavenger. And flies all over, and said she done got so used to it, it didn't even bother her. And we got an article on it. We're going to run an article. We took it out of the paper. They did. Going to take it out and put it into the Harvest Herald or into the Daystar. And run some pictures of Smoky Mountain. Some of them went over there and saw it. And this reporter, he was really tore up. You know, I told them, this is the way I feel. We went into the foreign countries again and again, and some of them's got a lot of wealth, folks. I mean, they are fabulously rich, while some of them are starving to death the same way in America. But I've never took any money out of the islands that I know of. I've never took any money out of the foreign countries. I always left it over there. I give it to the poor, done something with it. And even though we have got some offerings from the foreign countries, they hear our radio program in the islands and the different places, and they send foreign money in here. But it's like over there. We have a crusade. If we have a crusade, wherever we have a crusade, we'll take Manila, for instance, where Smoky Mountain is. I intend to take all of the money that comes from those people as to an offering. If it's 1,000 people, if it's 10,000 people, ever how many it might be. You know, if it ain't but 200 people, whatever. I intend to take the money from them and put it in a bank over there. I've already checked it out while I was there. I had men to go to the bank, find out one of the leading banks, to open a bank account, to take the money from them people that give, that's able to give, put it in the bank, and set some men over it that have integrity, that's concerned about the poor, and give that money to people like those people on Smoky Mountain. To give that money to them and to help them so that they will have food to eat. And we're planning, I don't know as of yet what we found out about it. They were supposed to tell me something about this today. We're planning to take all of the clothes that we've got on hand right now and put them on a ship and send them to Smoky Mountain in the Philippines. And get some of the brothers and sisters that are over there in that area that we met. Some gracious people that really have God on their mind to go out there and distribute these clothes and to help with food as to these people. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans and their afflictions and then keep yourself unspotted from the world. To be about the Father's business. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And this is what brings souls to Christ. Jesus fed the multitude. Somebody says they followed him because of the great miracles. Jesus said they did not. They followed him because of the fishes and the loaves. That's what draws people to God, is when you share with people. So all the Bible said, when you take the naked into your home or you clothe the naked, you feed the hungry, you look after them, then shall your light break forth. Everybody will see it. Then shall your health return speedily. You won't have any problem with it. Your health will return speedily unto you. And the Bible said, the light of God will go before you and he will be your reward. And it'll come to pass that he'll hear even before you ask. If you have a problem, an affliction, he'll just heal it before you can even call on him. Or he'll stop it from coming on you. So I wanted to say that to say this. You need to work with us, some of the ladies especially, and some of the men folk, in getting these things ready. We had to bypass our ships. I got our ships for that purpose. One of our ships had been over into the foreign country, had the records on board. See, and I got the ships and the planes for this reason. If our plane was ready to go right now, got a few things that needs to be done, but if it was, we've got a number of pilots that's ready to fly it. I said that it takes a special rating to fly this plane. I just got a letter from a special pilot that has Convair experience that wants to be our pilot, ready to fly. We could have went over there and picked up. I think they got 20 in one of those choirs. They got about three choirs. You could have picked up on our plane 40 people. Brought them right over here, had a great crusade here with them, giving them a part in it or whatever. We sent a PA system into the islands. Folks, this is what it's all about. Jesus took time to feed the multitudes. Counseled with his disciples to see if they had enough to take care of them. He said they've been fasting for a number of days. They'll faint in the way if we don't do it. So that's what we're trying to do. Today we sent a PA system over in Kenya. We've given the brethren $1,000 or so. I don't know how much. Don't remember. And then we promised to give them a PA system where we also promised to buy them a car. And don't get afraid. I ain't going to ask you for the money. Don't believe God. He's done provided that too. Let's give God another hand. Don't get afraid. You don't have to come to Bethlehem and get afraid. Except in one way, and that's afraid that you're going to be left out if you don't hurry and do something. Let's give him another hand. But we got some people here that's eager to do it. And you don't have to have the church together. We're just up there in that room when $7,000 or $8,000 just like that came about because somebody said something about doing something for the needy and the ministry. And just sitting down here, just four or five people sitting around when Brother Lynn was down there said, we've got to have something for the mail. I said, well, why wait? Just use our faith right now. I said, folks, we've got a problem. In a few minutes, they had $500 to take care of the mail. So see, at Bethlehem, the thing you have to worry about is being left out. You have to really get up and go if you're going to even be part of it. Because while you're trying to figure out whether or not you want to give, somebody done swallowed it up and it's too late for you to do anything. Oh, somebody said, well, we'll get the money in. They'll use it. Well, I don't know about that. It's for sure that you're not going to get it into me because I wouldn't have it if you brought it to me. A dime or 10 million, I wouldn't have it. But if you do take it through the right channels, there's some folks will take it and they'll put it right in there. Because that's what it's all about, is to give of that which you have. So we're not up here to bother you about those kind of things. But we are up here to tell you that this is a great opportunity. I said the other day, this is a great opportunity. Somebody says, now there, that Brother Pike. Now, he's the brilliant guy. He is so psychological that he just knows how to approach this thing. You know, he's got psychology. He knows how to do this. He can just talk to him about not wanting money and take everything they got all at the same time. But I'm not a psychiatrist. See, if I was a psychiatrist, I wouldn't tell you my secrets. I'd be done took your money. So see, I tell you my secrets, and somebody said, well, bless God, he really is smart because he even then makes them think that he ain't going to do it and still turns around and takes it. But I'm not even going to take an offering, so that proves that you're wrong again. All right, so we love the Lord and we're trying to do something for God. We're trying to tell you what the people have already done. You know, it's a big operation when it's worldwide, when you have to take in all the people's problems. You know, and it takes everybody here to be able to do that. That's one thing about the Philippines and those people that are grouped together over there as a group. They just spend all of their time, their money, their efforts, everything. They just don't take it for themselves. They spend it all for Christ and for the pastor and his efforts toward God. So when you spend $5,000 over here and $3,000 over here and $10,000 over here and $40,000 to go around the world or $70,000 to go around the world, it takes a lot of money. That's why I said it took a lot of money. Not that I was going to ask you for the money, but to let you know that God has already given a lot of money because all that's already paid for. So it takes a lot of effort. A lot of effort as well as finance. And we're wanting to send these clothes over there. I've already been let down to the extent that they were supposed to found out something for me today. I'm let down on sending the clothes, but we'll get it through. We was let down on sending the PA system. They told me that the PA system would be sent over. I called back here. I talked to one of our leaders. Said, don't worry. Said, the PA system will go right over. I said, if you don't get it over, I said, we're going to be in a problem. Said, don't worry. Well, when I got back, they let me down. It hadn't gone over. So when I got back, I got right on the case. And it still looked like it was going to let me down, but I stayed on the case. And today we got it off. It's gone. Which proves it could have been done. Yesterday, I was wanting to get a brochure, and I couldn't get the brochure. I was supposed to have it from a Memphis meeting. They promised me they would get it. They got together, was going to do it. And we got all up in the air, and the printing presses was ready to roll and had everything just right. And I turned around, and I walked out to the house, and I come back. When I come back, the whole thing was shut down. The lights was off, and there we was with the same old thing. And I just kind of got a little bit to beside myself, and I said, well, as Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for the Lord. I said, well, all right, if that's the way it is, it won't bother nobody. I just went on my way. I started up to the house. I thought, I'm tired of this. I'm out with this. If that's the way it is, I'll just do like I did when I wanted them to print little glass slipper. I couldn't get them to print it. I sent it to Texas. I got the brother out there, Brother Grant's brother. They'd done his printing. I got him to print it for me. And I said, I'll just go to town, or I'll go somewhere. I'll get a commercial printer, and we'll just go ahead and do it that way until I can train in some of my younger boys that's got an ego toward this. And, of course, some of them got a hold of it. And Brother Ron Clyde was one of them, because he overheard some of these things, and he just, I say that he did. I guess he must have just sounded the trumpet. Because it wasn't long before I had some people knocking on my door and wanting to know what kind of brochure I needed. And they was ready to do that brochure right then. As far as I know, they did. They got it ready, or got in line to get the thing lined up so that we could have it right away. But here's the thing, folks. It is so wrong. I say this to you so often. It is so wrong to take money from the people for God and then buy paper and invest, and then take the time of the printer and the others to run that paper, to print that paper, and then to lay it up here somewhere in the mailing room, and it never go out. That's as good as the devil wants, is to have somebody over the mailing department that just don't care, that will run after a dollar like a hungry dog, or after a bone, and won't pray one day or fast 2 hours for the cause of Christ, as to put a little time into the mailing department. He just loves to get people like that on the presses, or down in the printing room, or in the mailing department, or a woman somewhere up in the publication department. He just loves to do that. Or somebody that's wasteful, which the Bible said to be wasteful even with your time, your brother to a sluggard. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Be about the Father's business. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Forget about that business you got. You know, business. Forget about that thing. Forget about your ambitions and your jobs and all these other things. Forget about that. Somebody said, well, I'll starve to death, Brother Pike. Well, I tell you what. If your job is the only thing keeping you alive, you're going to die one day anyway. You might as well get out of your misery and just go ahead and get it over with. That way you won't have to work all your life and still die. You can just die and not have to work. So you'll be that much ahead. Oh, and if you believe that you've got God and you believe that God will take care of you, then get down to business with God and get to doing something for God. Get you a vision for God and stop being wishy-washy and being in limbo all the time. And do something for God, and then God will meet all of your needs according to His riches and glory. Well, I want to say a few more things and then we'll close. So, folks, I need your help if you want to help me. If you don't, the Lord will help us. When they had a shortage back there in the days of Joshua, God just sent the angels. And they began to throw hailstones down out of heaven and defeated the army. I need your help. I want you to help me. I'm not asking for an offering. There's a lot of things that needs to be done here. I came in the other day and I was so sickening to me. I walked out on the campgrounds and I looked and it was dirty and there was garbage all around and things just piled up everywhere. And even forms that's never even been taken off the cement. After I stayed in the cold and the rain with some brethren day and night to make sure that we got the job done. And I looked and just everything was just in a mucky mess. And I was just so disgusted. I'd gotten up before daylight. I had kept the brethren up kind of late, maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock. And then I went home and I didn't get into bed, whatever I kept them. I might have kept them even later than that. But I got home and I couldn't get in bed until about 3 o'clock. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning and I couldn't get in bed. And then with that, about the time I thought I could get in bed, I heard something say, well, ain't you going to pray now? I said, well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Some said, well, what's that got to do with it? And so I went to talk to the Lord a little bit. And like I say, sometimes I pray, sometimes I doze. I don't know how you do it. But anyway, I was down there praying and trying to pray. And the next thing I know, it was day. But just before day, while it was yet dark, I got up off of my knees. I decided to go to sponge off and tidy up as my routine and shave and whatever. And it was still not quite daylight. So I went outside and stayed outside a few minutes and come back. I believe by then Betty done got up before daylight and was cooking some breakfast or something. Anyway, I went outside getting ready to cook some breakfast. I went outside, and in Nashville, nobody wasn't out there at that time. So I come back in. And then I went out just about the break of day again, and I began to look around, and I saw all of this mess. And I thought, well, you know, if I've got any sleep at all, it must have been about an hour and a half. And I got up, and I looked around. And it upset Brother Taylor so much when he found out about it that he got somebody immediately and they began to clean up. And the next day I looked around and it was a whole lot better, which it ain't clean, nothing like clean yet. So many things that needs to be done, especially after the Lord showing the campground and about a third of it was junk in the vision. And of course that's spiritual junk as well as natural junk. Some of you get old cars, as I said, you park them over there, you get all kind of old things. You don't use them, you just junk up the place. And it don't look good at all. And like I said, all around, you can see it for yourself. See, this ain't never been painted. See that right yonder? Never has been changed as to the wiring and as to the painting and the stucco. And all through the sanctuary, you can see it. All through the buildings down yonder, it's pointed out to the brethren today. Molding that needs to be up. Yet we've got skilled men, we've got carpenters. We got all these kind of men with ability to do these things, but they don't do it. They don't do it. Somebody said, well, they just don't have time. I know we don't have time as a people, and Paul said, I say we to keep from saying you that are guilty. We don't have time because all of our labors for our belly and our mouth craves it of us. You've got plenty of time to do it to make money. What's the difference? You do it to make money. You don't have time to come to church. You don't have time to sit down and listen. You don't have time to fellowship the brethren, but you have time to go with a regularity from Monday through Friday. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, well, what about it, Brother Pike? It's just feeding your belly. That's all it is to it. Somebody said, well, this is a mighty thing. I have to feed my family. I have to pay my bills. I have to show myself to be a right kind of fellow to keep a good name. As far as I'm concerned, all you're doing is laboring for your belly. The Bible said all of your labor's for your belly because your belly craves it of you. Whether you're feeding your wife's belly, your belly, your daughter's belly, your son's belly, your neighbor's belly, whatever it is, it's still a belly. And the sad part is when you do all of that, then after you get the belly filled up again and again, it'll get to the place to where it starts rotting out with cancer or something. And after a while, they'll have to throw you in the hole. And then the worms eat you and fill their belly. So everything lives off of something. So I'm just saying one thing, folks. We are in an intellectual wilderness, especially in the United States. And I find this to be around the world. And we're just going from one meal ticket to another, eating and drinking in the last days. And from passion to passion, marrying and remarrying. One of the men that I met there in the Philippines, trying his best to serve God, had five wives. And if I ain't mistaken, I'm not sure, but it seemed like he might have had them all at one time. But I'm just saying, you know, that we get in the old Indian death walk. We're like a dog after his tail, and we just go around in a rut until we die. And all we ever done in our life is feed our belly. Somebody said, but he's a movie star. Look what he accomplished. So he's a movie star with a belly that he fills. If he's the president, he fills his belly. If he's the governor, he fills his belly. If he's an entertainer, he fills his belly. If he's a preacher, he fills his belly. All of their labor is for their belly. And the Bible said, for their mouth, because it craves it of them. And what does that mean? That's woman, man, male and female alike. What it is, the old serpent. God put him on his belly. He eats himself to death. Well, somebody says, you done got to meddling, Brother Pike. It's time to close service. You know, you can feel certain things. How do you feel certain things? And we get to think this is meddling. This is really what it's all about. He put the serpent on his belly. And he's going to smite that serpent because he's going to use me and every other preacher that loves the Lord to smite him on his head. And we're always smiting him on his head. He don't like us because every time he gets to thinking something, we rap him on his head. But the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding, because if you did lean to that, you'd be the serpent. But trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That is, have the mind of Christ. Don't make any provisions for the flesh to fulfill the desire of it. Let's be about our Father's business. All right, I am going to close, believe it or not. I know it's getting kind of lengthy. You know, I've been over there preaching to them people, and they start like at 3 o'clock in the evening, and then they go on over into the night. And then I get back over here, and I'm liable to forget about that, and ain't no telling what time you get home some nights, you know. It's bad to have to always get the people to clap their hands, you know, when they could do it on their own. All right. I love you. The Lord loves you. I told you that. All I've said, don't unchristianize you. I'm trying to help you. I'm just trying to make you think. What kind of vision do you have for the Lord? Leave your business. Leave whatever you got. Quit that old slouchy way of living and just lounging around, and get out there and do something for God, or make yourself available for God, and break that yoke of that old ignorance of telling you that you got to be on the job every Monday morning and get your paycheck on Friday. I thought about Brother Clyde Cobbs. It just ruined him when he come to Bethlehem, because he had been used to getting up on Monday. I've known him for years, and he was so regular as the tick of a clock that he always made his family a living. He always paid his bills as to a good name. He had a nice brick home, a nice automobile. Rain or shine, he was there for them to see that he was the right kind of fella, and that's greatly to be admired. But that belongs to the world. And Brother Clyde come here, just ruined him, because he left that out there with the world. But it didn't matter. He was dead anyway. So they just buried him. And now he's the Son of God. And the Lord's still meeting his needs. And he don't even have to do all of that. He not wandering around in the wilderness anymore. So it's wonderful, you know. God likes men of responsibility. He likes men of integrity. He likes men that will take care of their wife and children. But like the disciples said, seeing that we've left houses and home and land and all of these other things, or that is, we've left off with the feeding of the belly, with the lying vanities, said, what are we going to receive? He said, well, I'm going to have a throne, and because you've done the same thing, you're going to have a throne too. I'm telling you something, folks. It ain't just a matter of going to heaven. It's a matter of some men going to be kings. I remind you again, the Bible said go on to a full reward. You're playing around and messing around in a half-hearted way when you might could be a prince. The Bible speaks of Jesus Christ being the prince of all of the kings of the earth. And he is going to be the Lord of lords, and he's going to be the King of kings, and there's going to be 24 kings around his throne that's going to be kings also, going to be men. And they're going to be kings outside of the gates throughout that new earth as well as the millennium earth. And they're going to bring their crowns into that beautiful city to put them down at the feet of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, because he is responsible for their great kingdom. Said concerning those things, and some will be over 10 and some will be over 50. You lead people to God. You go on to a full reward. You work as with a preacher. You are partakers of his benefit, partakers of his labor if you bid at God's feet. You're part of that kingdom. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that. Well, Brother Branham said when he went beyond the veil, he found himself sitting up on a throne. Must have been a king, must have had some followers. But at the same time, somebody said, he's up a little higher, speaking of Jesus, because he was on a higher throne, because he was the king over the kings. So you can judge it any way you want to. I judge it according to the word of God, and I want to do something for the Lord Jesus. So if we want to move up in the Lord, you say, how can we do that? Decide to stay all night. What about us staying all night tonight? Somebody would say, well, I want to stay all night, but not tonight, Brother Potter. Like it was said when a man said, are you going to heaven? And somebody said, are you getting up a load right now? You know, it's a matter of whether we're going right now or not. Yeah, I believe that you would. I believe that some of you love the Lord just that much. I believe that you would. I believe that you would. But I'm just saying, folks, if you can't, if you're not in that kind of condition, you need to get in that kind of condition. Because right here, Brother Taylor can remember the times when we could spend all night long right here on the sawdust before we ever got a flow in here. That's how these things were built, through labor and travail. When Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters. When you have to go all night long, you travail. Somebody says, I can't, Brother Pike. I got to go to work in the morning. I won't feel like going to work. Well, I know some that did that all night long and still went to work and worked all day long. And some of them fasted while he was doing it. I've told this a number of times. I have worked all day long, and that on ladders and a string. Doing the same day, fast all day long. And doing the same day, come home at night, wash up, go straight and preach a revival for hours, and in the same day come back home and spend the rest of the night or thereabout on my knees. So I understand what you're saying. I've worked so hard on a job that when I go to preach, I actually did this, that when I got behind the sacred desk, I didn't have enough strength to hardly say the words of God. I've actually done that. You might not believe it, but worked so hard. I mean it, hard work, sweating and whatever. But you don't have to do that. In the first place, you don't have to go to work the next morning. Oh, somebody said, I'll lose my job. Well, anything that's going to be that tight and bind you down, bind you to where you can't serve God, you need to get rid of that job and find you another. That's right. Trust God. Learn to trust God that you can get another. I appreciate that. So then I love you and God loves you. I want Bethlehem to be the greatest thing in the world. Somebody said, one of the greatest. I want it to be the greatest thing in the world. Somebody said, well, it'll never be, but I'll have a lot of joy trying to make it that. Whether it will be or not, whether we come in second place or third place or whatever, I'm going to try my best to make it the best place in the world. And if somebody else makes theirs the best, I'll just try to latch on to second place. And if somebody gets second place, I'll try to latch on to third place. But I'm going to reach for first place and do all I can. Like Brother Branham said, he said, it's going to be a close call as to who's going to be saved. And if wasn't nobody going to be saved, he's planning to be saved. If wasn't nobody but him, said he's planning to make it. So it's an individual affair, and we're going to have to do something. So we get right back to where we was. Let's get down to serving God. Let's forget about the other. Let's seek the kingdom first and forget about our business and jobs and everything else and let that be second with us. And to do something for God, let's forget about, as long as you have a vision for a career, you are unlike Christ. And in some cases, you've got a devil. Only a devil has a vision for a career in life. Now, I know you want to get me. I said, only a devil. You say, you can't prove that by the Bible, Brother Pike. Jesus said, the devil savors the things that be of the flesh. Now you differentiate as to whether seeking a career is of God or of the flesh. And then you'll have your answer right there. So we're not seeking position, and we're not seeking a career. We're not seeking a livelihood. We're seeking God. Even to try to hold back a little bit on the side, somebody said, well, Brother Pike, let's be reasonable. God's a reasonable God. He wants us to hold back a little bit on the side to put in the bank. But I quoted the scripture to you where the Bible said he that gathered much had nothing left over. How are you going to put anything in the bank if you don't have nothing left over? And it said, as he that gathered little had no lack in that he took what you was going to put in the bank. You love the Lord? See, someone would say, well, I just don't believe it. I believe God wants us to have something on our own and something to be left over. Like the fellow told me, I've quoted this to you or related it to you. He said, I want something for myself. I said, fine, have all you can get. So he did, and a few months he died. He died. Got it all for himself. But as the Bible said, he died and left it, and in the end you'll be a fool, and who'll get your riches? Like Solomon. Who'll praise you when the worms is eating you up? Make yourself a fabulous name. Get you a great career. Be an outstanding person. But when the worms eat you, it'll be just like anybody else. Won't be no difference. When the worms eat you, it'll just be like somebody else. The rich man, the poor man, the worms will eat them all alike. I'm talking about reality, folks. I'm talking about reality. Somebody says, but I'm young, but you don't know how fast life goes by. Somebody would say, well, you don't know either. Yes, I do. The Bible said it's swifter than a shuttle. See, I do know, don't I? Some of you that understand God, you understand too. And somebody said, it is like a vapor. Solomon, like a vapor. This appeareth for a while, and then it's gone. And you wonder what happened to life. So then the wise man, he'll lay up his treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal. Moth doesn't corrupt. Wherever your treasures are, your heart will be also. You give yourself to the passions of this life, and you give yourself to the ambitions of this life, and you use up all of the youth as to your strength in this life that's passing through that little stalk that you call a human body. Use it all up. And then at the end of the day, look back and realize that you are a fool when you have to leave it to somebody else. Somebody said, well, you're going to leave yours, Brother Pike. Oh, no, I'm taking everything with me. Somebody said, well, I think them that follows your minister will get it. No, I'm going to take them with me, too. I'm going to take all them with me, too. So I'm laying up my treasures in heaven that when I pass off of the scene here, if there should come such a day, then my treasures will be over there, be waiting on me, because that's the way I believe it's supposed to be. And if you're wise, a wise man, look at the world he's going, you'll do that too. Use that strength. Use that personality. Use that ability. Not as to allure and to entice and to create the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. For the Bible said all of it passeth away. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So, let's do something for God. Let's join hands around the world. Let's link hands together around the world. For God, your faith is being spoken of throughout the world. People think Bethlehem is a great, mighty thing. And the people is a great, mighty thing, because I've told the people around the world that Bethlehem and God's people here are a great, mighty thing. And they are a great, mighty thing. Solomon said, who can speak to these so great a people? They're gods. And they're just longed to come to Bethlehem or see Bethlehem people. So let's join together. Let's do something for God. Brother Pike's not mocking you. He's not scolding you. I'm just telling you the truth. And I'm trying to help you to get your eyes open before it's too late, because one day you will get your eyes open, but it'll be too late. And he'll throw you in a hole. So let's get it open while we can. Let's use our bodies for God. For the Bible said, he that seeketh to save his life as to a career or as to a position, as to a business, he's going to lose it. But he that's willing to give it up, for my sake, to lose his life here, said he'll gain it unto eternal life. It'll be given unto eternal life. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to try to close. You say, what am I going to do about my wife and children? Well, I'll tell you a way to find out. We just told two men that they're to go over into the Over in the Philippines. No, over into Egypt. They're going over to Egypt. One of them's got wife and children that he has to take care of right here on the home front. He's be gone about a month. And he said, if necessary, my wife and I talked it over, I'd be gone 3 months. That's good measure, pressed down, running over. With that kind of attitude, the Lord will bless him. Now, you go ask him what his wife and children's going to do. And if he tells you, then you'll know what you can do for your wife and children, or they can do while you're gone. All right. You say, well, I'd love to know. Well, all I got to do is ask him. We had a little schooling on it last night. But you can be assured of one thing, that if you do something for God, God will do something for you. If you seek the kingdom first, you'll find out that you don't have to be a routinist and be on your job every Monday morning. All right, let's stand together, folks. God bless you. I appreciate you. I said all these things that you might be thoroughly furnished in the things of God, that when the devil comes flying at you with some kind of thought, you can say, well, we've already been down that trail. I know what to say. And he won't uproot you and undermine you. So, Brother Pike wants to help you. I want you to be some of the wisest people in the world, some of the most understanding people in the world. You know, Little Bethlehem is criticized a lot of times by different people around the different parts of the nation, even around the home front, but it's only by ignorant people. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Real God people, understanding people, don't criticize Bethlehem. Only ignorant people. And we're not cutting at people to belittle them to exalt you. I'm not saying ignorant to the extent that they are filthy, dirty, low-down people, as is the case of some of them. But I'm just saying that some of them are ignorant to the extent they might be fine people, but they don't understand, they've never learned, and believing themselves to be wise as to their intellectual learning, as to their schooling and whatever, they're still ignorant when it comes to really being advanced and knowing, because the people here understand so many more things than they do, and they're so far ahead of them until they're like babies, even with their polished scholars, as to having their diplomacy or whatever. So just feel sorry for them, love them, and go on. Realize, as an educated man that's talking to a fool, that they just don't understand. Don't be harsh with them. If a man's a fool, he can't help but be a fool, because that's his condition. And until he knows more, he'll always be a fool. Two men walking together, the man that is educated will always show up the man that's uneducated, if it be such a case as to two walking together. And the man that is uneducated to everybody will always be saying, I'm a fool, I'm a fool, I'm a fool. Not that he would say it with his words, but as he speaks, his actions will show that he's not skillful and he's undeveloped. And everybody will see by the contrast of that which is developed, the fool. And likewise, the man that is not a fool will always be and say, he'll always be found saying, I know and I understand. I know and I understand. Because everything he does as a contrast to the fool will magnify him. As to our ignorance and our shortcomings, it is nothing more than something to magnify our great God, who is so wonderful. And every time I come short of the glory, then his glory is magnified the more, because it shines the brighter because of my shortcomings. It's seen the more as to the darkness showing up the light. And likewise, it's the same in all I do as to contributing to the greatness of God. So whether I stumble or whether I serve him, I'm still glorifying my Heavenly Father. Work with me. Help me get these clothing off. Don't let me down, brethren. Go do something about that tomorrow. You promised me today. Go do something about that tomorrow. And let's not procrastinate. Let's not let it be said that the ships are gone, the planes are gone, the videos are gone, the recording studios are gone. Everything is gone because you wouldn't do anything. Don't let it be said, you know, that they that have so little have done so much, and you that had so much have done so little. Don't do that. Do all you can. Get busy. Don't wander around in your mind about being over in the Philippines when you can do 10 times as much on the home front. Some of you just want to go to the Philippines or you want to go somewhere to vacation. Some of you that go out there with me, that's all you ever do. I said this the other night, and I know this don't sound right, but some of you men that will go out there and has gone out there, and some of you women, all you've done is spend and eat and drink and buy and cause me problems while you was there. Let's acknowledge the truth. Let's acknowledge the truth. And the others at home that you thought wasn't doing nothing was the ones that was carrying the load. And they were the ones that was doing something. And all you did was spend and take away from what you could do for God. And then not only that, but come home. And once you get home, you feel you've done so much when you've done nothing. And then you feel like you've got to spend the next 2 or 3 months still not giving nothing to God after you've done spent everything you had. Because you've got to go back and pay all your bills and catch up. And you've been on a journey for God. And you've been in a ministry for Christ. And you've got to go catch up now with all your bills and spend all that money paying your bills and keeping your comforts and convenience here. So you rob Him twice. That's sad, folks, but I know that's where your mind is. The devil savors the things that be of the flesh, and you've let him in, and that's the way he uses you. But thank God for some that's willing to do something on the home front and do something out there, too. It's like I was telling Brother Ron Clyde, I believe it was today. This morning, I believe I was telling you, Ron, we was talking. A man that don't do nothing on the home front, he ain't got no business going out there. Because he ain't going to do nothing out there either. The man that's willing to dig here and nail here, the man that's willing to shovel, the man that's willing to give, the man that's willing to sacrifice. Here, he's got a concern. And when he gets out there, he's going to have concern. He's got a love for people. He's got a love for soul. He's got a love for God. But if you're a penny pincher on the home front, as they call it, you know, and you can't get you nothing but the penny march, and every time you go to give, you squeeze it so that it's just a little bit, and you share a little bit, and you know, you make 500 and you give 15 to God, as we say, you might as well forget about the whole thing anyway, because you don't have any part nor lot in the matter. You have already lied to God, and you're subject to be killed at any time. And if God shows you grace to go on until you do drop into the hole for the worms to eat you, you will go to hell. You will go to hell. So be careful when you make commitments. Be careful when you say things. Better not to make one than to make it and not keep it. The Bible said, pay your vows, for God hath no pleasure in fools. He calls a man a fool that will make a vow like Ananias and Sapphira and not pay it. They got killed by trying to hold them a little on the side. He that gathered much had nothing over. But Ananias and Sapphira decided they'd have a little over. So God killed them. So if you're going to number yourself with God, then go on and give your all. And if you're not, then get on out and have a good time and enjoy sin for a season, because you're going to get killed along the way or something bad is going to happen to you, because God don't have any half-hearted people that He's taken to heaven. There ain't going to be none. Church has got a lot of them, but there won't be none of them in heaven, not any of them in heaven. The liar, the Bible says, shall not enter into that city. The fornicator shall not enter into that city. Paul said, such were some of you before you were washed and clean. And they that backbite with the tongue, he that putteth out his money to usury, he that hath the love of the world in his heart, won't stand in that holy city. Only the holy, the sanctified, the pure, they're going to stand there. Preachers, it'd be the same thing. Brother Dale will tell you, I can tell you, there's preachers that they don't have their mind on giving God nothing. Money or clothing or given to the poor or anything else. Their theme is the preaching of the little widow and the two mites. You know, and giving Elijah all that she had. And sure enough, they do exactly that. The Bible said of these sort as to preachers, they creep into houses and lead silly women astray that's laden with divers kinds of lust, and they rob the widows and the orphans, because their sermons is, God is great and mighty. He'll supply your needs. You give me everything you got. And so they take it. And so God does supply the people's need. Somebody said, yep, there you are. You rob the people and they're left without anything. No, God does supply the need of the widow. Sure enough, just like the Bible says, if he's preached for contention, otherwise he honors his word, and then he kills the preacher. You love the Lord? I don't want him killing me. I trust God will help me. So then we tell you the truth. Paul said, our conscience bearing us witness in the Holy Ghost. God's no respect to person. He'll kill a preacher just like he'd kill anybody else. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, folks. There's one thing about it. If you can put up with me, you're a good congregation. I can tell you're agreeing with me. Really are. My wife, I've always considered my wife as one of the finest wives in the world. And the reason is because she can put up with me. And that makes her one of the finest in the world. I don't mean she don't ever see nothing. All right, let's sing together. Let's sing, I love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I love him. Sing with me now. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation. Oh, Calvary's tree. I appreciate our brother. I believe Brother David Paul led this brother to the Lord from out of... Maybe he was already serving the Lord and David led him into Jesus' name baptism. That's the way it was. Over in Alabama, was it? And he's come up here a number of times. And when you come to Little Bethlehem, you have to be careful. Because if you get up here, sometimes you don't get away. We got girls that'll get you. I think one's done got him. I understand he's wanting to move up here. What it is, some of these fellows come in and they see our girls and they meet a lady and it's hard to find a lady, so they want her for a wife. That's what happens. But anyway, I think he has met a girl and they're kind of, you know, noticing each other. Appreciate having him here. Do you really love the Lord? Let's give the brother a hand, okay? Also, appreciate Brother James and his family being up. I was asking about them the other day. They try to come up. They're looking for a place up here. They're wanting to move up here. It's pretty far away from them, have to come so far. But they're faithful to try to come. And also, Brother Marvin and his wife, they've come over from Mississippi. I understand they got to go back home for a little while. Just a little while. And then they're supposed to come back. And you pray now that when they get over there, it won't be no more than a little while. They'll be back. How many want to see them come back? Okay. All right. People accuse me of being jealous, and I really am. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, so I don't want you to be leaving and going nowhere and staying. It's all right if you go, as long as you come back, go to the right places. I appreciate you, and if you can go somewhere and hear the gospel and hear some good things, anything that has the virtues of Christ in it, well, I only encourage you to do it. Otherwise, I don't. Let me say this, and I know I got to close. We picked two men already to go into Egypt, and we picked seven people to support them. Our project is to send two men into the Philippines, two men into India, two men into whatever. And our project is to have seven people to support them, not picking out the men to send them. Let them volunteer and then pick from there. Not picking out people to support them. Let them willingly desire that and then pick out the people. Like Brother Randy Bundy, he come to me last night and he said that he had already made preparations in his heart to go to stay a month or 3 months. So he's already told his mother, whatever. So people that volunteer, if we send out two more, we've got two. We've already got seven supporters. If we send out two more, we're going to have seven more supporters. So you think it over. It's an opportunity to do something for God. Everything that we do is an opportunity to do something for God. You say, well, Brother Puggy doesn't do so much. He just takes so much money. But isn't it wonderful how he supplies it? You know, it makes me to know something that if it's taking all that much money, then that means that Since I don't have it, and you say that you don't have it, then he must be the one that's given it, and that makes me feel good because I know he's got plenty to take care of me with. Don't you love the Lord? Somebody say amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Please, God, I know that you believe that. All right, let's sing together again, folks. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Up at the Diversion Center, they've asked us if we would come up and preach to the boys up there. They're giving us a chance to come up on Sunday anytime from about 8 till 5 o'clock in the evening. And they've asked that we come, and they want us to come. And we're going to go up there, the Lord's will. As a matter of fact, go or send someone. And I remember Brother Green's program in the Carolinas was go or send someone. And he had a neat little program. What he did, he got all of his congregation together, and he said, now since you're not going, then you need to send someone. And they agreed that he was right. So he said, everybody, bring your purse and your pocketbook and lay it up here. Said, we're going to send someone. And when they brought it up there, he took the biggest bill that they had out or in there. So they sent someone. That was his routine. And if he found an empty pocketbook, you know, he'd catch them on the spur of the moment so they couldn't empty it. And if he found one emptied and he thought that they really was without money, he just took some out of the man that had something left over and put in the man's that had, so he'd have no lack. God's good. He knows how to do it. Well, the first one that we're planning to send up there is Brother Clyde Cobbs. He's going to take the first leg of that, good Lord's will. You know, come think of it, I don't believe he knowed anything about that. I'm sorry, Clyde, I just remembered I never did tell you. But anyway, we're telling you now. That's all right, you forgive me for it. It just dawned on me, I didn't tell you. But anyway, Brother Clyde is going to, I've already made a commitment for you. I told him you would be there. So I had to tell him before 5 o'clock this evening. He's going to, yeah, that's a wonderful opportunity. Jesus said, I was in prison, you visited me not. There's some people that even is in this local jail up here that got careless that really belong to God. And you'll be visiting them. You'll be visiting God, doing it as in the least of these. You'll be doing it as in the Lord. Is that all right, folks? I make commitments for you a lot of times, but and maybe I forget to tell you. But I hope you'll invest in those commitments. I'm really, you know, I'm not really expecting it of you, but the Lord is. And I'm expecting it of you through Him. He's expecting you to do those things because you promised Him. If you hadn't have told Him, He wouldn't have bothered you about it. This way we'll all meet together and have a reward for reward according to our labor. Can we sing maybe another song? Another keeper. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently there in line. He was there. Oh, can you sing it with me? The altars are open. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line, he was there all the time. Sing it again with me. He was there. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there. Can you sing that with me, folks? The altars are open. Jesus was there all the time. He was there all the time. Can you lift up your hands? Waiting patiently in lift up both hands and sing it again with me. If you really believe that. When you stumble, he just kept waiting. When you were so busy, you had other things to do, he just took his place in line. You believe that? You believe that? A friend loveth at all times. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. He said, I'll never leave you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Didn't he say that? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn about me. He said, because I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. He said, and you'll find rest under your weary soul. I'll never forget the vision I had. I was standing in heaven. I know I'm just a man. I'm nobody. I'm nothing, just a helper of your faith. But in a vision, I was standing in heaven and I was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was standing between heaven and earth, between the people that was down on the earth and heaven. And I had my hand stretched out and I was saying, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We sing that song, and I will give you rest. I thought, Lord, what can this be? I know I'm but a mortal man. But the Lord says, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Paul said, it's not me living but Christ. And the Bible said it's not you speaking, but the Lord Jesus is speaking from within you. So then Christ, I say come. The bridegroom says come. Let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. I tell you that he'll give you rest because he's there. He was there all the time. He's been there all the time. He hasn't gone away and left you. Can we sing it again and really believe it? Can you? He's still there. Sing it with me now. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Waiting patiently in line, he was there. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? Can't you just feel him? Sing it again and lift your hands up. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line, he was there. Just one more time, sing with me. Jesus was there all the time. He was there all the time.
waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. When I stand upon the mountain, looking over into that city, gives me faith that I can make it. Can you sing that with me? After all, this life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, also looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. Sing it with me again. After all this life, if it's over and my burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain also tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I... Can you sing it one more time with me? I really believe that you can. For after all this life is over and my burden has been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain also tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. Somebody say hallelujah. For after all this life is over and my burden has been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain oh so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. Can you sing that with me again? I believe that you really believe. You know, I believe that you really believe that you're going to make it. When you realize that God still loves you in spite of all of your stumblings, it just don't give the devil a place, does it? Not to give place to the devil. He just has to run off and leave, because God loves you anyway. So we can really sing that song, can't we? And really mean it. All right, let's sing it together. For after all this life is over and my burden has been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain oh so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith. He said, if I go away, I'll prepare a place and come to receive you unto my own, that where I'm at, you might be also. Sing it again. For after all life is over and my burden has been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain of sorrow, looking over in the city that my Lord is repairing, gives me faith that I can make it after, just one more time, after all, for after all this life and my burdens they've been lifted, and I stand on God's mountain, oh, so high, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I'm gonna make it. Can you say, I love you, Jesus? Can you say, I love you, Jesus? Can you say, hallelujah? Praise the Lord. It gives me faith that I'm going to make it. Do you feel like you're going to make it after all? If you really, truly, from your heart, in spite of all your problems, feel like you're going to make it, lift your hands. You know what, folks? Let me tell you a little secret. We already made it. Let's give him a hallelujah. Before the world ever was, he saw us and wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why we stumble around, fall 7 times and get back up and still on our way to heaven. And that's why we're still sons and daughters of God. For the Bible said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God. Not waiting. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ain't that enough to praise him for? Ain't that enough to praise him for? Hallelujah. Praise him from now on for that. Let's lift our hands up, close our eyes, and think about Jesus. I'm going to ask Brother Steve Douglas, if he will, to come and dismiss us tonight. And while Steve comes to pray with you, remember, you've got a treasure, folks, and this heavenly treasure is within your earthen vessel. Now it's made known unto you the manifold wisdom even of that's in the heavenly places, and that is in the heavenly places, which is called heavenly treasures. This is what it is. It is the word of God that says ye are the sons of God.